Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear your testimony and how God is using Destiny in your life. You can visit our website, destinychurchjacksonville.com, and click on the testimony link. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can do so online. Now, get ready to receive a word from God.
Oh, we love you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. Would you clap your hands for him one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My name's Daniel. I get to serve as one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to share the word with you today. Pastor Chris, thank you for the opportunity to do so. I wonder, is there anyone here that ever gets a little down in this time between Christmas and the new year? You ever find yourself just kind of in no man's land, like up is down and down is up? What day is it? And just maybe even a little depressed or something. Who's experienced something, some kind of different emotion, right? It's just a weird season, right? This time between Christmas and the new year. I've felt that way before. And there's so much buildup, right? There's so much anticipation looking forward to Jesus's birthday. And it's an awesome, beautiful time. And then it's over, right? And then you're just waiting. Christmas brings out the impatient little kid in me. My wife could tell you that I'm as bad, maybe worse than our girls when it comes to wanting to open up presents early. At least 2 weeks out. Can't we just open up one present? No. What about something from the stocking? No. It just, it makes me impatient. And then again, Christmas is over and there's that awkward time until the new year. Do we go ahead and take the tree down, just leave it up till the 1st or the 8th or March? Or in this in-between time, I try to be intentional to thank God for what he's done in 2019 and this year. I also thank him for the things that he's doing. Amen. I think if we're not careful, it's far too easy to forget what he is doing right here, right now, how he's moving all around us. So I thank him for what he's done this year. I thank him for what he is doing at this very moment. But I'm also excited. I'm also looking ahead to this new year and what God has in store for it. Amen? You have expectancy. I get a little stir crazy. I get a little restless. I get impatient. And it sounds like I'm not the only one who has these types of experiences. Has your patience been tested this holiday season? I didn't even mention traffic or the shopping lines, right? Anyone ever just wrestle with impatience regularly, not just even during this season? Okay, well, this is a word for you today. So speaking of patience, have you ever heard this ungodly question from the backseat of the car? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Mom, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? Students, have you ever said this question? Are we there yet? Parents, have your kids ever worn you out with that question? Are we there yet? I remember the 4-hour drive to Disney seeming like it took an entire day. Dad, are we there yet? And what I would hear is, we'll be there when we get there. And if you ask me one more time, I will turn this car around. Is it safe to say that we could all practice a little more patience in our lives? And if not you, maybe at least someone that you know. If you've ever been to the DMV, then you know what I'm talking about. Your patience, maybe even your salvation, has been tested at the Department of Motor Vehicles. And we all want to be more patient, don't we? No one likes feeling impatient. The anxiety, the stress, the increased heart rate that accompanies those feelings of being impatient, we all want to be more patient people. We just don't like to go through things that would develop patience in our lives. For some, patience might be the thing that you have when there are too many witnesses around. You just put on the happy face, you pretend like everything is okay, and inside is just a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. And listen, if I'm honest, I'm a much more patient person outside of my home. My family sees impatient Daniel far too often. And so I think some of us may need to start praying for patience instead of strength, okay? Or at least add that to the list. We all want to pray for strength, right? God, make me strong to get me through this thing. We need to start asking for patience. Why is that? Because if God gives you strength, you're going to try and handle every situation on your own. But if God gives you patience, you'll learn to lean into him and wait on him and let him handle the situation. Who do you think is going to handle the situation better in the long run anyway? Amen? So I found a couple of quotes about patience. This first one, certainly familiar. Good things come to those who wait. Another one that I found, I really like this. Two things define you. Your patience when you have nothing and your attitude when you have everything. And finally, it was the wise Will Ferrell that said, before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet service to see who they really are. That's wisdom. I think patience, or lack thereof, it tells us a lot about someone. So what is patience? Let's define it. Patience is tolerance of people, endurance through situations, capacity to accept delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry, upset, or complaining. I think you may have all been tracking along with me good. Like, yeah, I've endured some things. Yeah, I can accept some delays, but without getting upset, angry, or complaining, that's where it kind of hits the fan, right? Oh, man, this is especially hard at the end of a year for me. When I think back to things that I was hoping for, that I was believing for, that I was praying about, maybe you have too, and you still haven't seen them happen yet. Know this, God does not operate with calendars like we do. God is not confined to days, months, years as we understand them. 2 Peter, it says, a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years as a day. So I don't know why it, whatever it is, didn't happen for you in 2019, but I know this. If God said he's going to do something, he's going to do that thing, and it is worth waiting for. Amen? The promises of God are always worthwhile. And while we're waiting, there's some things that we can do to help us through. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You don't have to wonder ever again, what should I wear? Does this match? Put some kindness on. Put some humility on, and you're good to go. Now, we could easily take a Sunday for each of those items we're to clothe ourselves with, but this morning we're talking about the article of patience, everyone's favorite. Patience is something that we can actually pick up and put on. We're to clothe ourselves with it. It's not a behavior. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. And it's a quality of the heart. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, we see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And patience, like the rest of the fruit, should be growing in our lives as believers. Amen? If you don't have as much patience in your life, maybe you don't have as much of the Holy Spirit in your life as you think. Man, it's the same with all of those fruit. Those fruit are evidence, right? You don't know an apple tree is an apple tree unless it's got an apple hanging on it, right? In Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. What we see in this scripture is that waiting and waiting patiently are two very different things, right? We all have to wait for things, whether we like it or not, whether we've scheduled them or not. I've waited for things, huffing and puffing, getting all bent out of shape, and patience was nowhere to be found. That's not going to get the Lord's attention, not in a good way anyway. But David waited patiently, and the Lord turned his ear to him and heard his cry. So you might be here today wondering why it seems like God hasn't turned his ear to you. He hasn't heard your cry like he did for David. I thought God's no respecter of persons. The Bible tells us that, yes, but it also tells us that when you wait patiently on the Lord, he will hear your cry. So are you waiting patiently like David did? And remember, that means without complaining, getting angry or upset with the delay. Patience is so much more than just waiting. Patience is not laziness. It's enduring through a situation. Patience is actually an opportunity for you to pour into someone else. So what do you do in the waiting? What is your method in the middle? What can you practice while you wait patiently? I think one of the best things we can do while we're waiting on our dream or our promise to be fulfilled is to help someone else reach theirs. While you're waiting for God to answer you, be part of the answer for someone else. And Joseph is a great example of this, right? While Joseph's dreams were on hold, he served Potiphar and was promoted. When Joseph was thrown into jail, he served the warden and was put in charge of all of the other prisoners. We're pretty familiar with Joseph's story, right? We find it in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. No, we're not going to read all 14 chapters, but allow me to provide a summary for us this morning. Joseph is one of 12 brothers. He's the firstborn of Rachel. Rachel was one of Jacob's wives. Joseph is Jacob's favorite son by a long shot. And he doesn't hide the fact that Joseph is the favorite. In fact, he got Joseph a richly ornamented robe. Let's call it his special jacket. A coat of many colors, some versions would say. Maybe something like this. No other son, no other brother got one of these special jackets. Joseph liked his jacket a lot. He wore it as often as he could. Now, one of the special things about Joseph was that he was a dreamer. When his brothers actually saw him approaching, they would say, "Oh, here comes that dreamer." Joseph thought everyone would want to hear his dreams, especially his family, his brothers, because they were a part of his dreams. So one day he starts telling them about a dream he had. "Bros, we're out in the field and we're tying up grain, and all of a sudden, the bundle that I tied is in the middle, and the bundles of grain that all of you tied circle mine and start bowing down to my bundle of grain." And they're like, "Come again? Like, what are you trying to say here, Joseph? Are we going to bow down to you? Are you to rule over us?" This didn't get Joseph any cool points with his brothers. Then he had a second dream, and because it went so well sharing the first one, he thought he'd share this one as well. This time, his father Jacob was also present. "So the sun and the moon and 11 stars all start bowing down to me." His dad rebukes him, but keeps it in mind. His brothers just get more and more jealous. Their hatred grows for Joseph. And it wasn't just the nice jacket. It wasn't even just the dreams. It's that Joseph never had to go out into the field and do real work like they did. But instead, Jacob would send Joseph to go check on them and then report back and give a little update. So the next time that Joseph's brothers saw him approaching, they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. We can't bow down to him if he's dead." So one brother, Reuben, wasn't comfortable with this plan. He said, "No, guys, let's not kill him. Let's just take his jacket and throw him into a well." So that's what they did. They took his jacket, they threw him into the well. The well was empty. All right? Then they sat down for lunch. I like to imagine maybe some matzo ball soup and some potato latkes. Sounds pretty good right about now. Maybe a traditional Jewish lunch. All right. And then a caravan of camels starts approaching. And Judah, one of the brothers, says, "We're about to get paid. All right, let's sell them." And so that's what they do. They get him back out of that well, sell Joseph. They kill a goat. They rip up his jacket and they dip it in blood. And then they go take it to Jacob and act all dumb and say, "Is this your son's?" Notice they don't even say, "Look, we found our brother's jacket," but, "Is this your son's?" And the Bible says that Jacob tore his clothes and he wept for days over this. Meanwhile, in Egypt, Joseph was sold to Potiphar, a very powerful man and captain of Pharaoh's guard. Potiphar quickly realizes that everything Joseph touched was blessed. Everything that he did prospered, and so he promoted him. The Bible tells us that Joseph also caught the attention of Potiphar's wife. The Bible says Joseph was a young and good-looking, a buff guy. And so she makes some advances towards him, and he says, "Nope, get behind me, Satan." And then she tries again, and Joseph wasn't having it. And then he runs away, and she makes up this story to Potiphar that Joseph tried to get jiggy with her. And Potiphar asked him, "How could you do this? How, after all that I've done for you, I've promoted you, I've put you in charge of all this, how could you do this to me?" And Joseph said, "It wasn't me." And Potiphar threw him in jail. Joseph's in jail now. And while in prison, his roommates, who happen to be Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker, each have a dream. They don't know what to make of it, so they tell Joseph. And the cupbearer has this dream about grapes. And it meant that in 3 days, he would be restored to his original position. And the baker saw how well that went, so he shared his dream with Joseph about bread and some birds. And that dream was interpreted to mean that in 3 days, he was going to die. And sure enough, both happened exactly as Joseph interpreted. So they're released 3 days later, one restored to the position, cupbearer, the other, the baker, dies. And Joseph says, "Don't forget about me." They forgot about him. Years go by, Joseph is still in jail. One night, Pharaoh has two dreams. One about skinny cows eating fat cows and shriveled up grain eating plump grain. And he doesn't know what to make of it either. So he calls his magicians and his wise men to try and interpret the dreams, but they can't. The cupbearer finally remembers Joseph years later and tells Pharaoh all about this guy who had interpreted his dream, and it happened just like he said. So Pharaoh said, "Bring this guy to me." So Joseph takes a shower, gets a shave, puts on some new clothes, and stands before Pharaoh. And Joseph interprets the dream and gives Pharaoh a game plan of how to prepare for the upcoming famine. Pharaoh was like, "This guy is the man. Let's get him a gold ring and a chain." And he promotes him to the number two man in all of Egypt. And that brings us to a good place for the rest of our time this morning. Did you ever wonder how much time transpired from when Joseph had these dreams and was sold into slavery to when Pharaoh made him number two in all of Egypt? Are you curious? 13 years. 13 years. I have trouble waiting 13 minutes sometimes. 13 years? Yeah. He was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. He was 30 years old when he was promoted at the palace to the number two position in all of Egypt. You want to talk about being patient? Talk about waiting patiently? Well, Daniel, how do you know he waited patiently? Because nowhere in Scripture do we see that he complained or got angry at God or questioned God or blamed God. What we do see is Joseph accept the situation he was in, endure the delays that he faced, because he knew he was not alone. He knew God would fulfill the dreams that he had given him. Joseph understood what we're saying. God is in the waiting. God was in the waiting. The Bible makes a point to tell us in Genesis 39, verses 20 and 21, that while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. Joseph knew it wasn't bad luck. It wasn't poor decisions. It wasn't even what his brothers did to him. He knew it was the sovereign will of God behind it all. He knew there was some kind of purpose for the problem that he was encountering, and it would soon become clear. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 5, when Joseph is making the big reveal to his brothers of who he was, he said, "Don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives." This is incredible. Joseph didn't blame God for all the things he had experienced. Instead, he blessed God for putting him in a position to save his family. I wonder how many times we've blamed God for something when we should have blessed him for it. I know I've done that. I've blamed God for things, and I should have blessed him for it. Joseph was able to accept every delay because he knew a delay did not mean that he was denied. Joseph was able to tolerate the pain and the problems because he knew that there was a purpose. He didn't know what it was then, but he knew there was a purpose. When you discover that Jesus has a purpose for every problem you encounter, it changes everything. Hear me today. There is a purpose for the problem you are facing, whatever it is. The Lord will see you through that thing, and his purpose will be fulfilled for your good and for his glory. You believe that? Another guy who went through some stuff like Joseph is Paul. Had a similar experience. It's Acts chapter 20. Verses 22 and 24 that Paul said, "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I do not know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Paul had a pretty good idea what was in store based on, and it wasn't good, based on what he had already endured, city after city, based on what the Holy Spirit told him to expect, and he still moved forward obediently. He still accepted the will of God and endured whatever he had to, even when it didn't make sense. He was sent to Jerusalem. Fun fact, Jerusalem means the city of peace. Only God would send someone to the city of peace knowing that they would encounter persecution and suffering and pain. But what does that teach us? You might be in the toughest season of your life today, but still be exactly where God wants you to be. You might feel stretched thinner than you ever have before, but still be walking in the center of his will for your life. And Paul tells us what we've heard this morning, to rejoice in our confident hope. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep praying. Well, our hope is Jesus, amen? And with our hope in Jesus, we can be patient even in times of trouble. And one of the best ways to remain patient in times of trouble is to keep praying. Keep praying. One of the ways that Ashley and I have intentionally tried to pray is for others, especially when we're in such need for God to step in and do something. It would make sense. God would hear our prayers for ourselves, but we've decided in our heart that we will pray for someone else as fervently as we would pray for our own need. And we will praise God as passionately as if he had answered our prayer when he answers their prayer. And God honors that. I tell you, I've seen it time and time again. And if we will be faithful to just take the focus off of ourselves temporarily and lift up the needs of our brothers and sisters, God will not only meet those needs, but it's not long after that he ends up meeting ours too. God honors that. If we can accept the delay and endure the situation and stay patient, all while keep on praying, God will get us through that thing. Paul didn't know why he faced persecution in the city of peace, of all places. Joseph didn't know why he was in jail. But neither of those stories ended there, did they? It's in 2 Timothy, after Paul completes his final missions trip, where he said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. His patience in the midst of the problem got him to his purpose. Joseph endured detour after detour, after delay, all the way from the pit to the palace. And it was his patience through those problems that got him promoted. I said this earlier, we all want to be more patient, right? No one likes feeling impatient. We all want to be more patient. And ironically, we want to be more patient as soon as possible. Like, I want to be more patient right now. But God doesn't just make us patient people. He gives us opportunities to develop patience in our lives and practice patience in our lives and exercise those patient muscles in our lives. So what are some of the areas in your life that you could be practicing patience? Think about that. At work, at your commute to work, at school, at home as a parent, as a child, as a spouse. I think it can really apply just about everywhere. But I'd encourage you to write that question down. What are some areas in my life that I could practice patience? And then pray about that. Take it very practically and write down some things. Ask God to help you. He will. When we wait patiently, knowing that there's a greater purpose, we find strength in the presence of the Lord. That's what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says. It says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, walk and not faint. We receive strength while we wait on the Lord, because he is with us in the waiting, and he is for us in the waiting. And he's patient with us in the waiting. Anyone glad that God is patient with them? Amen. I sure am. He demonstrates for us what he expects from us. I love that about God. He demonstrates for us what he expects from us. One final thought for this talk on patience, and hopefully a picture for us today. I was talking with Christian Brown not long ago about archery. And this is an arrow, in case you were wondering. An arrow can't do a whole lot by itself, can it? No. I mean, it looks kind of cool, right? But an arrow can only fulfill its purpose and destiny, can only hit the target by first being pulled away from the target. Let's say our target's right over there. If the arrow could think, I bet it would think, why am I being pulled in the opposite direction? I want to be going that way. That doesn't make any sense. I'm a professional, as you can tell. But the thing about an arrow is it's not merely pulled back. It's pulled back, but it's also held back. And it creates a tremendous amount of tension. Maybe that's how you feel today. You feel tense. You feel stuck. You feel held back. Maybe even like you're going in the wrong direction. But what happens to that arrow once it's the right time? After it's been pulled back and held back, the archer will let it go at just the right time, and that arrow will scream towards its purpose and destiny, fulfilling what it was created to do. That arrow would have no chance of hitting the target, much less the bullseye, without having first experienced that pause, that delay, that time of preparation, that opportunity to practice patience. And on this long road trip that we call life, there will be delays. Some scheduled, like fueling up, and some not, like traffic. But let us keep moving forward, keep looking ahead. There's a reason why the windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror. We are to be looking ahead to what God has for us. So let us wait patiently upon the Lord and enjoy the journey that he has us on. It's going to be worth the wait. And while your dream is on hold, pour into someone else's. Help be their answer while you're waiting on yours. And remember that a delay does not mean you're denied. And there is there's a purpose for every problem that you endure. Amen? Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the seasons and the things that we encounter where we can develop patience, where we can have our faith stretched so we could learn to rely on you even more and to be dependent children with our Heavenly Father. We don't know why we might be going through something that we're going through today or this year, but we know you've got a purpose for it. We don't know why we haven't seen some of the things that we've been believing for. But we know you're working. And we put our hope in you and you alone. Would you stand? Let's lift our hearts and our voices in a time of worship one more time.